Welcome to the Jaded Gamers. I'm your co-host, the Pharaoh, and with me, as always, Katsu.
Katsu, that's me.
Yes. It's a wonderful, wonderful week in gaming.
It's almost like you forgot how to do intros.
Me? No.
Sorry, go ahead, continue.
Continue. This is the Jaded Gamers. Neither of us have played the Phantom Hourglass edition.
That's right. I have not played it. I didn't even know it was out, actually, until I looked up stuff for this week that had come out. I'd forgotten about it. That's how excited I am about Zelda. I haven't finished a Zelda since Zelda.
How many Zeldas do you think I finished?
I think the last one I finished was actually Zelda 3, or Link to the Past.
How many do you think I finished?
By the tone you requested, I'm going to say zero.
That's right, zero. Zero Zeldas finished.
How many have you purchased?
Does purchasing the Collector's Edition disc to give to Jasmine X count as purchasing one? Or because that's a present.
How many have you purchased or received as gifts for yourself?
None. I purchased, even the last one I purchased was for Jasmine X.
But did you play it at all?
Yeah, I played about 45 minutes of it, so 30 minutes of cutscenes.
So you're talking about the Twilight Princess.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one last year's.
And
I played about 45 minutes of that as well.
I went through a jumping puzzle, but there's no jump button, and I said, fuck this game, no more.
Yeah, dude,
it was even frustrating for me to watch Jasmine X play it.
I tried to get into them, but ever since Link to the Past, when they switched to Ocarina of Time, which a lot of people consider one of the best games of all time, and one of the best, not just Zelda, but just ever for any platform. And I don't know, I mean, I agree, it was a pretty good game.
I played about 3.5 hours with that. Remember I downloaded the HD pack for it?
Uh-huh.
I just got tired of no jump buttons.
Yeah, that didn't really bother me. I just couldn't get into it. There's no narrative, really, in Zelda's. He doesn't talk. He's sort of a mute, just grunts and stuff. And I don't know, man. I just couldn't get into those games. I mean, it doesn't really stop me from buying them. I think I've bought every single one since then. Each time thinking, okay, this is the time that I'm going to really get into Zelda. I'm going to give this one a chance. I'm going to sit down with it. You know, a couple times I've bought the strategy guide, which is always a mistake. It always makes me appreciate the game less. Not so much because I'm cheating and going through the guide. It's mostly because I'm trying to do everything because I have the guide. I know that such and such is, you know, in the tree, or this is hidden in the back of the cave. And if I know it's there, how can I not go get it? You know what I mean? So when I get strategy guides, it usually makes games less fun and more work. So I've kind of gotten away from buying strategy guides. So I've tried it with strategy guides. I've tried playing Zelda without strategy guides. I've tried playing the 2D ones. I tried playing that, what was that four-player one for the GameCube? You know, it was kind of Link to the Past-ish.
Zelda Four PMS Swords. Edition?
No, oh, the Four okay. Swords. Four Swords. I tried that
the
one.
The Four Emotions of Link.
And I don't know, man. I'm not a Zelda guy. I fucking support. I bought two versions of Twilight Princess. I bought them both from the store, not used. I purchased the Wii one when the Wii came out, and then I was so dissatisfied with the Wii controls that I went out and bought the GameCube version because I really wanted to give the game a chance. And I still didn't finish it.
So, you know, speaking of strategy guides.
So wait, so Phantom Hourglass, is that if I recall
correctly, that's a continuation of A Link to the Past, I believe.
But it's in the style of the cel-shaded.
Yes.
It returned to the cel-shaded style of Wind Waker, correct?
Right. Or maybe it's a sequel to Wind Waker. I don't know. But it's cel-shaded
I think
Wind
it looks
Waker.
Like Wind Waker. I don't know if it's story related, but it looks like Wind Waker. Which I liked. I think I like Wind Waker more than Twilight Princess. I played about 6 hours of Wind Waker, and I played about an hour of Twilight Princess. Anyway, so
it lends itself to the bigger problem in RPG games nowadays. Well, just JRPGs. Really crappy storyline where you're playing as a little kid.
Like Eternal Sonata.
Like Eternal Sonata.
Have you been playing more of that?
Fuck no. I've been playing Halo 3.
Oh, yeah. I kind of stopped playing it as well.
Kind of. You'll never get it. You're not going to put it back in.
It's unlikely. You've said that before, and I did actually go back. You've said that about a few games.
Well, it's because I said that.
No, 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 not necessarily. I'll probably start playing it when Eternal Sonata 2 comes out.
Lovely.
You
think there'll be a 2?
It's possible. I wouldn't be surprised if there was.
I'd be very surprised.
Really? I guess if it does well in the United States, I don't know, if they sell 200,000 copies or so, they'll probably do one. They really need it for the Japanese audience, though.
Is it selling well in Japan still?
I think it did okay. Not sure. I don't think it was a blockbuster hit. It was one of the games that they packaged as a special package edition version of the Xbox 360 hardware.
They so there's a whole bunch of people that are buying that version just because they have to have all editions of the hardware?
You know, I'm not even sure that it's a totally different version of the hardware as far as like a skin. It might just be a faceplate, which I got. I got the faceplate for... Have you seen my faceplate?
No.
It's awesome, dude. Check it out. All you people listening in, look it up.
It's really colorful. It looks like Alice in Wonderland, except not as cool as Alice
there was
in Wonderland.
There was five different designs. I'm looking at the one that has... what's her name?
The little
Polka.
Girl.
Yeah, Polka.
Who looks like she's about to trip.
Yeah,
and I don't mean trip balls like Alice in Wonderland. I mean trip as in fall over.
I actually went the night before to GameStop to ask them if they had the game in early because I had gotten a call from GameStop, the pre-recorded message, but I accidentally hung up and didn't get to hear exactly what the message was about. It was like, hey, this is GameStop. And then I hung up on them. I'm like, fuck. So I went into GameStop to see if it was for Eternal Sonata. They're like, yeah, but it's not till tomorrow. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm like, did you guys get the special or the pre-order faceplates in? And he goes, like, oh, yeah, you want to take a look at them? I'm like, sure. So I was looking through all of them and actually had my choice of the five designs to pick from. And originally I was going to get a really dark one, which I think had, what's his name, Reto. Allegretto or whatever his name was.
Sure.
Which was really dark. And I'm like, maybe that'll even fit on my Elite. And I'm like, you know, do I really want to put that on my Elite?
No.
So I'll say, you know what? I'll just take the most colorful one with the main chick on the cover.
Good choice.
So I took Polka. But yeah, I think this is really all you get when you buy the Japanese special edition. I'm not 100% sure. But I don't think it's like a fully reskinned one like the Halo 3 edition 360. But in any case...
Was the Blue Dragon fully reskinned? Or you think that was another faceplate?
I'm not sure. I don't know enough to tell you one way or the other. I want to say that they're both just faceplates, but I'm not sure. But in any case, if it was, you know, special edition version of the 360, even if it's just a faceplate, it is probably fairly important for the Japanese market. So like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if they made an Eternal Sonata 2. And when it does, if it ever does materialize, then I'm sure I'll be frantically trying to finish up Eternal Sonata 1. And that always happens to me. Do you ever get pressured to finish the first one when a sequel's imminent? Like when Halo 3 was out and I was rushing to finish Halo 2. Not like it was a very long game, but, you know, so like I got to finish Halo 2. It's almost like, again, it's almost like games becoming work.
Well, that's how I'm feeling about Halo 3 because I can't find anybody to play Legendary Edition with or Legendary Mode with.
Yeah, I noticed that you always try to get me to play your game when I'm playing a land game with Mike. I'm playing co-op, and you're like, I want to play. I'm like, yeah, we tried that already. When we try to play with you, well, Mike ends up having to get on my screen, and then we have to restart the whole game, and blah, blah, blah. So
what?
What do you mean, so what? We actually went through the trouble to get it on two different screens, and then...
And then Aaron Mike bailed.
No, actually, my little girl started acting up, and I had to give her a bath, and her, you know, my wife was out, so... Then, oh, you mean the first time?
Yeah.
Yeah, because last night was what I'm talking about, because you messaged me you wanted to play. But Mike was here. We were going to play. We played a little bit, and then my little girl just...
Well, Kovac.
She went all two-year-old on me. Huh?
Kovac picked up a 360 today in Halo 3.
And Mike picked up my old 360 because I picked up the Halo 3 360. So that's two more sales for Halo 3 and so Microsoft and a new 360.
He had come over last night, and we were wasted and playing, and I was just inviting you to play some skirmishes, some social matches.
Oh, okay. I thought you were doing... co-op playthrough.
Nope. Actually, Jagged Fire was over, who also is going to buy a 360 to play Halo 3 as soon
Dude,
as he moves.
I'm telling you, man, last month or that not sorry this the last week the 360 finally outsold the Wii. I don't think it had done that in a long time, if ever. I'm not
I think
sure
that
ever
this is going to be pretty consistent from now on.
You think so?
Yeah, what is they have Super Mario Galaxies, and I think anybody who wanted a Mario game for the Wii wanted the Wii for Mario games already
but,
bought
but
it
if you think
Mario
about it
Paper Mario came out.
Halo 3, the biggest game for the 360 yet released, they only beat the Wii by a few thousand. So now that the Halo 3 hype is
going
to
plummet... Yeah, but
there's
going to be tons of people for Christmas. There's going to be a whole bunch of kids that want Halo 3 and are going to get the 360.
Yeah, that's true, but there's also going to be a whole bunch of other people, you know, like adults and grandfathers and young kids and even teenage and adolescent kids. They're all going to want Wiis.
I think they've sold enough already.
No, I'm not saying that they haven't, but...
I think it's to the point where they have to slow down because there just aren't enough people to buy it.
I don't know, dude. It
you
seems
disagree?
Like
you might be right.
I'm thinking this: the Wii is not going to slow down. It's just a
it's
juggernaut.
It's just a terrible system.
It is a terrible system, but it's only terrible because we're what most people would consider
gamers.
Hardcore gamers.
And we're not even that hardcore.
No, I am. You're not, but I am.
What?
Yeah.
I think we can point to my achievements, which are more than yours, to show that I'm more hardcore than you.
That's because you have your little friend do the shit for you.
So you don't think having a gaming sweatshop makes me more hardcore
that,
than you?
That's a good point. I didn't really think about it that way. But in any case, we're clearly not the audience for the Wii, right?
People that like games Republic. With a challenge and want to play games online versus other people to add more challenge are not the Wii
right.
audience.
No, not at all. So there, face it, man. There's more people. There's more general Joe Public guys than there are hardcore gamer guys.
Have you ever read Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance?
Yeah, every week.
No, seriously, it's a good book.
I don't even know what the hell you're talking about, dude.
Well, anyway, it's
What's a book?
And it divides people into two categories.
I know two things: magazines and textbooks.
Anywho,
those are the only books I read.
Listen,
not even
quiet down
books.
Listen
what? Okay,
up.
Go. Zen and the Art of what?
Motorcycle Maintenance.
I'm guessing it's not about motorcycle maintenance.
It's almost about that.
Okay.
Anyhow, it's about this guy and his son and his buddy that go on a trip on their motorcycles. See, hence mm-hmm. the motorcycles.
Okay.
And he kind of talks about the two different types of people. When I look at an object, I see like these are its features at a piece of tech, any sort of tech. I think 360 multiplayer games that I want. Better graphics, all of the feature sets, and what I can do with it. When somebody looks at a Wii, the kind of person who thinks that a Wii is an awesome system is the other category, where it's the idea of a thing and not its ability or its features.
It's the experience.
It's the experience of just having it. The same kind of thing people that buy the iPhone most of the time. And I'm sure some people are in between, but the kind of person who just wants the thing for the status of having the thing or mm-hmm. the image of the thing, that's the Wii. The Wii.
And you can't user. Really... I mean, you can't not count, you know, the difference in price, you know?
$100?
No, it's
Memory card and a basic system is $100.
Well, it's $279, right, for the core. So it's really...
Plus a memory card.
At its cheapest, if you really, like, wanted to walk out with the system, it's $279 versus $249, I guess. So... Realistically speaking, it's more than that, but you could really say you could walk out of a store with a gimped out 360 for $279. So maybe, you know, maybe
and
it's
even
not
for
a,
the
maybe
Wii,
the,
you
maybe
also
the price
have to buy
isn't that
card.
Much of a factor.
I really think it's the gimmick. It's the, motion controls.
You got to hand it to Nintendo, man. They made a GameCube 1.5, added a different controller, and just they can't.
And put
they
a
just
pretty,
sold millions.
Pretty, pretty box. People see that ooh shiny.
People didn't dig on the purple cube.
Not so much, somehow.
Yeah. In Japan, it was only released in purple, which is why they have. Well, I have a purple one because it was import. But then when it released in America, they made sure that it had a black one available. because it looks, you know, people see purple cube and they think toy.
Yep.
Right? So
it's the Fisher-Price color.
Right. Now they have the kind of the Apple look where it's glossy white, very elegant. So
that's
know,
the other
man.
Thing. Apple
those
is
things,
another
those
set,
things matter.
Set of lockdown feature products that look really nice. They have great industrial design, but you can't do as much as you can do with cheaper products.
I'll tell you what Apple's not good at is this fucking software. They're
not good at software or hardware. Oh their software their software and their
just
hardware
purely
completely
based on,
unreliable.
I'm not knocking the Mac OS because I really don't know enough to knock it. So it could be good, could be bad, I don't know. But my God, iTunes is just terrible. It is so buggy. It is just is
Jasmine
terrible.
X parents, they have an Apple, and trying to do things on the Apple, things that take two clicks on Windows take 4 to 6 clicks.
That doesn't make sense. And it's a click with a big button. They finally have two buttons now, right?
Kind of?
Well.
The second button really doesn't do much.
Still,
it's still like hold a key, hold two keys.
I mean, Apple has shit like, or again, this is all, really it's just an iTunes bashing because that's all I really use. That's Apple software. But seriously, like when I upgrade my version, like a dot level, like it was 7.1 to 1.7.2 or whatever the hell it was. I don't even know what the version was. And it erases my entire library. I mean, not off my hard drive, but my library, my database and iTunes just completely got wiped. I lost everything. And I had to redetect everything and recreate every, playlist. my iPhone. You know how I noticed? When I looked at when I plugged it to sync in my iPhone, and it said it's an 8 gigabyte iPhone, and it had like 7.3 gigabytes remaining. I'm like, what the fuck? What happened to all my music? What happened to all my videos? How can I have 7.3 gigabytes remaining on my 8 gigabyte iPhone? And then I started looking at it a little closer. I'm like, holy shit, all my playlists are gone. So it synced. When it synced, it erased everything because the update on the iTunes software had blown up. I don't know what the hell happened. Luckily, I was going to be pissed if it got rid of all my contacts and my photos, but luckily it didn't get rid of that. So at least I had that. Basically, all I had to do is resubscribe to all my podcasts and then recreate all those playlists. But yeah, the iTunes software sucks balls. I'm not saying the Zune software is any better, too, because that was shit. See, the Zune 2 is coming out?
Yeah, don't care.
You know what's nice about that? All the features in Zune 2 are available on Zune 1 with a firmware update.
Cool.
That's fucking classy right there. Everything, like, they have Wi-Fi syncing now.
But Microsoft has done that with OSs for how long? I mean, look at Windows 95. They added the compare new that, file system.
Compare
and all
that to
crap.
to the iPod Touch, which is a gimped version of the iPhone. They purposefully removed stuff like the notepad, stuff like not being able to update your calendar through the device itself. You can't do weather. You can't do email. You can't do any of that shit, which the device is clearly capable of.
Does it have Wi-Fi built into the
It has Wi-Fi
touch?
Built in.
Wow.
So they purposefully removed stuff from it, whereas Microsoft, when they went from Zune 1 to Zune 2, went through the trouble to make sure that all the Zune 1 adopters, and I think there was like 1.3 or something million Zune 1s out there, that they got all the features of Zune 2. So what you're really buying with Zune 2 is the smaller, more sleek hardware.
And you know what? People who like Apple, you tell them shit like that, and they're just going to be like, oh, but look, it's
look, it's got an Apple logo on it.
That's right. Moving on, let's move on from our MS Apple debate and talk about some actual non-gaming, more non-gaming stuff.
No, dude, I don't want to even talk about house shit. I'm skipping. Let's skip that.
Let's talk about the room.
We've been talking about that for a while. We know you moved in a new house. All I'm going to say is I'm getting new flooring on the first floor, but you know what? Who cares?
Roomba, it's a robot. It charges itself. They're awesome.
Yeah, we were talking about that actually right before the podcast, and yeah, it's the beginning of the end, dude. Skynet's coming, Terminators, freaking The Matrix. It's all coming. It's all starting.
We've got a good 100 years. We've got 100 years, and we'll be dead then.
Yeah, we won't see it. It all started with the fucking Roomba.
And maybe our kids will be dead
We
by
let
now.
The Roomba in our house.
It charges
it
itself.
It charges itself, and I don't know, dude. It's the beginning of the end, is what I say. That's
and
all
then
I'm
the scuba.
That's all I'm saying about that.
Well, I don't know.
Moving on. Okay. So, hey, we didn't even talk about the Halo 3 land.
It's time to talk about the Halo 3 land.
Let's talk about it.
So it was awesome. It was awesome.
So we had about, 18 people, I think?
Yeah, because there were two people at a time that couldn't play.
Right, and then per team that couldn't play. So four people that couldn't play.
Oh, four people.
Yeah, so that was actually 16.
And actually, there were people that were playing that really couldn't play.
Yeah, that would be Gay Brad and his buddy Zach. What was his name? Pink Penetrator?
Pink Penetrator. He wanted to be Purple Penetrator after the item that Madonna bought for Guy Ritchie. Do you see that picture?
No, I didn't.
There's a picture of them walking out of a sex store, and he's got all of her bags behind, walking behind Madonna, and all she's got is a clear bag that says
Purple
Penetrator on it, and it's a strap-on for women. Nice. I'm just thinking, all right, who's the man?
Hey, well, you know, they could be bringing in a third person, maybe another woman. Madonna's been known to make out with girls.
But she's hideous.
Well, maybe the other girl would be hot.
But Madonna's hideous. Well, actually, hot chicks that like women often.
Well, anyway, Pink Penetrator was a pretty damn cool name.
Actually, I think
we terrible player, but pretty cool name.
Yes.
And I think wasn't he all pink as well?
He was.
Yeah. At one point, I think we had...
We're all pink on the inside.
All right. You know what? Let's move on.
Moving on.
So, yeah, we had eight 360s, but unfortunately, we only had six 360, with eight 360s, but only six Halo 3 discs.
Right.
So we're down.
And I brought mine.
Yeah, you did. And the problem was, I had supplied three of the 360s and only had one disc, and I wasn't about to go buy two more copies of Halo 3. I thought, you know, hey, we'd go out and rent a couple of copies. But, you know, it was Friday night. Halo had just been released that week, so...
Not gonna happen.
Yeah, I sent out a couple of guys to scour the nearby area, and they managed to find one copy. So that's where we're at five, so we got the six. But even still, it was pretty fun. We limited it to two-person per LCD screen because for some retarded reason, it puts black bars on the sides
right.
on your widescreen displays, and it really reduces it to a 4x3 display and then splits that in half horizontally. So you have a top right. and a bottom player. And, I mean, talk about eating up real estate.
Well, I had Jagged Fire and Kovac Dover, or not Totoro-san. He's they came over at lunch on Friday. We left work and went to my pad because 12 minutes to work. How awesome is that?
Right.
You know how awesome that is because you work close to where you live.
Right.
And we played it. And on my TV, it wasn't a problem at all.
But it puts black bars.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. It's got to eat a certain the same percentage of real estate no matter what.
But I realized that I need a bigger TV. So I talked to Jasmine X and she says, you know what? We have enough budget. Time to get a projector.
Yeah, that's what you need, a projector. 1080p projector, man.
I'm thinking of getting two because there's a coupon at Fry's. They have a 1080p one for it's $400 with $100 off, so it's $300.
$400?
Yes.
Dude, it's got to be crap. Dude,
what do you want for $400?
$4,000, I understand. $400?
I've seen them. Woot sells them like that all the time.
Wait, let me tell you something about LCDs. They can support 1080p, but not actually have the pixels.
No.
All they'll do.
Projector.
Yeah, I know. What did I say?
LCD.
I'm sorry. Let me tell you about projectors. I meant projectors. I was thinking projectors. I just said the wrong thing.
It's basically a DLP without the screen.
So a projector will still support a certain resolution, X by X, right? And if you look, a lot of them will say they support 1080p or 720p, but they're only have...
As an input source, but that's not what they're outputting.
But exactly. They do some magic shit inside, and they only...
Magic shit.
And they they only output X whatever number of pixels they have. So you have to make sure that just because it accepts 1080p...
I'm going
to
do more research.
Doesn't mean that
like
it outputs 1080p.
Like I would whenever I buy something,
right.
Unlike Apple users.
I can guarantee
I research features to make sure that... Everything works the way
I guarantee you. A $400 projector is not going to be
what
you want.
We'll see. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't.
I thought you were going to say you were getting a 73-inch, and then I was like, "Yeah, that's what you need. 73-inch
TV.
Yeah,
yeah. I want that so badly, wanting it.
1080p. 73-inch
TV. My living room's
TV.
Bigger now, so I need a bigger TV.
That's right. That one's no good.
Right. We put that one upstairs.
You can put it in the guest room.
That's the ghetto TV.
That's the guest room. Maybe you put it in your bedroom. You know,
no television in the bedroom. That's not what the bedroom
really?
Is for. It's for two things, and one of them is sleeping.
What's the other one?
Not sleeping. But it does oftentimes, but not always, involve a bed.
Okay. What the fuck? What were we talking about? Halo 3.
3.
Oh, man.
So we got so off track. So the awesome thing that I noticed the day after the LAN, we still talk about the LAN, but the day after, I was at work, and I had played a couple matches at work, and I wanted to see what kind of stats were on when I got home. So I looked, and all the matches that we played on the LAN were up for us to go through because I was logged into Xbox Live.
Oh, right. Yeah, mine too.
So I had a video, but I deleted it. Maybe I could probably recreate it
if it's
still got it.
You know what I haven't tried? I'll be honest. I have not played much Halo 3 outside of that LAN. How do you get videos? Like, where's the option to save the last match? Do you have to set that before you play your match?
No, afterwards. You can go to any match. Any match that you've played.
Recently.
Well, I don't know what the time limit is. But there was one of those matches that I was very upset that I did not, that I wasn't on a ranked game. Because I had that Spartan laser and three people coming at me and a Warthog.
Was that the one where we had... teams and we're on that
sandstorm
level where you can move the bases.
We kicked the crap out of the other team. Like it wasn't even.
Oh yeah, you were on my team.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when we were I remember that game.
Yeah. We moved their base closer to us.
It's becoming more like a PC experience where you have demos and screenshots and shit like that, which is really cool because that was one thing that was sorely missing from a spectator point of view. Demos, or what do they call them? Movies, I guess.
Sure.
For Quake, we call them demos, where you would just record the match. You could play it back and move around the map and see things from any direction, not just from the perspective of the player, which is pretty cool because we saw that video online about the coolest Halo 3 sticky video?
Plasma grenade.
Yeah. Where a guy like chucked the plasma grenade across the screen.
Completely misses the guy he's going for.
It hits the...
It's on that paintball-looking level.
Yeah, in the warehouse.
It hits the jump pad.
The airlift.
Uh-huh. Goes off the airlift.
The grenade does,
still. It's still going.
Right.
He's like, oh, fuck, I completely missed, and he's waiting behind.
Right.
lands on this guy's head, and that guy runs next to another guy, and it kills that guy and the other guy.
Yeah, and this would never be possible. You couldn't show anybody if you didn't have access to this, you know, the
because
movie
of
feature.
Those videos, he can pan and follow that grenade as it goes, and then send a video.
Well, first of all,
you
wouldn't have ever had a video before unless you were recording it prior to the match. And second of all, you can't pan and see from different angles and stuff. So it's really cool. I mean, stuff that we've had on PC for a long time. So it's about time. And of course, Bungie and Halo are, you know, the ones that bring it to the console gamers. So, and that's one thing that a lot of people criticize Halo, the series, and Halo 3 in particular. Like, if you watch the latest Yahtzee video, which we just watched, where he talks about Halo 3. Yahtzee, if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, Yahtzee is this Australian, British guy, does all these crazy videos talking about usually latest reviews and stuff like that. Yeah, so he was really ragging on Halo 3, saying that it's basically nothing new. And he fully admitted he'd never played Halo 1 or Halo 2. But he's missing the point if you just play single player. Halo is really about multiplayer. They really have two development teams, one making the single player campaign, one making the multiplayer stuff. So I think they've done a phenomenal job. There's not a single game that can touch it on the multiplayer aspect. Not necessarily just talking about play, the gameplay itself.
Bungie had developed Shadowrun, it would have.
Not only just the gameplay itself, but all the features, like the recording of the movies and the screenshots and the, you know, all the little touches and details that Bungie has put into Halo.
I think what Bungie did was take the best parts of a lot of other games, like Tribes had all of that demo record match shit. Tribes 3?
On the console?
No, on the PC.
No, I'm talking about... No, the PC, that shit's been around forever because people have control.
Well, the way that they're doing it with the huge matchmaking page online. Mm-hmm. But I do feel that guy had a point about the single player, except he's not evaluating it.
Well, first of all, he says...
The difference between a game that is just a single player experience...
Right.
...and something that has to cram both...
Multiplayer and single player.
Multiplayer and single player into one development.
Right. And, you know, he fully admitted he hadn't played Halo 1 or 2, so he didn't really know what was going on.
There is so not much of a story to Halo.
Dude, are you kidding me? There may not be in the game, but the whole Halo universe is very detailed. They have novels that fill in spaces. And I'm not saying you should have to read the novel to enjoy the game. You shouldn't have to read. I agree. You should not have to read a novel to enjoy
the
game.
To enjoy the storyline of the game.
Absolutely. You should not have to. But there's a lot of kind of mystique. There's a Halo, what do the French call it? Je ne sais quoi?
You don't know what?
Yeah, exactly. That Halo has that... It's just hard to explain. And, I mean...
But I think he was led into it from the wrong point of view. He played Bioshock before he played Halo 3, and I think playing a single player like Bioshock, and then playing a single player like Halo 3, if you're just a single player gamer, mm-hmm. I can see where he got the point of view he did.
Yeah, so
I completely understand what angle he's coming from.
I'm sure that there are people that are in the same boat as he is. You know, they're caught up in the Halo 3.
If you're not a multiplayer gamer, there's no reason to buy Halo 3.
Yeah, you can just rent it. Yeah, absolutely, just rent it. But, you know, there are people that got caught in the Halo hype, ended up, you know, purchasing a 360 or at least purchasing the game if they already had a 360, and then they're let down. So I'm sure there are many people in the same boat as him, but I think that those people are in the minority. And the great majority of people, I mean, if you just see how many, I think they sold 1.7 million, I think, the first week.
For Halo 3?
And like 1.2 of them had gone online to play. Had played Xbox Live. That tells you right there the type of people that buy Halo.
So that's not just the console cost or the Halo cost. They're also getting an Xbox Live subscription out of those people.
Right. And so, I mean, Halo is, it's not just single play. If you look at it as just a single player game, you are missing a huge part of the game.
Yep.
And I can understand. Definitely be a rental. It would definitely be a rental if you're just going to play single player. And even worse, if you didn't finish or play through at least the game parts of Halo 1 and 2, not necessarily read all the background and stuff. If you didn't play through Halo 1 and 2 and you just played 3 and you only played the single player and you didn't care about multiplayer, of course you're going to have the point of view that he has that it was a big waste of time. But if you really... You know, if you're really into the Halo franchise, Halo 3 improves on Halo 1 and 2 in every way imaginable.
Right.
It has better graphics.
All
has a better
the changes
story.
They made to Halo 2's multiplayer that people hated, they rolled back.
I think the Halo 3 multiplayer is just refined. It's almost like the way I felt Quake 3 was refined. You know, it took all the best parts from Quake 1, it took all the best parts from Quake 2, and it, you know, refined it into the perfect multiplayer game of Quake. And Halo's done the same thing. It's made the perfect multiplayer game of Halo. Now, I'm not going to say that I'm a Halo pro because I didn't play as much Halo 2 as a lot of people did. I mean, there were some hardcore Halo 2 players.
But it's nice enough that
But I've played a lot of first-person shooters, not just Quake. I've played a lot of first-person shooters,
so
and I know what
makes it
fun.
Are you finally getting used to playing on a controller? Is it feeling a little bit more natural?
No, it's still terrible for me.
You just need more time.
I just have poor aim. It's always been specifically about the aim. It's not tactics. It's not that I don't know what I'm doing or where I'm going or what I'm, you know. It's just simply a matter of aim.
Sensitivity 8 is what you need. Sensitivity
8. I've tried low and high. If it's too low, I can aim a little bit better, but then I just get killed because I
can't
even turn around.
Yeah.
And if it's too high, it's just, I mean, I'm already a poor aim.
8 is what you need.
I don't know. It's just bad for me. I'm just not adept at the two-stick control.
Just like when beating a child, 8 is enough.
It's not beating a child. It's rearing 8 children.
You never saw that Family Guy?
Huh?
Where they show them watching TV and they're watching 8 is Enough. And,
no, I never saw that
and
one.
And the daughter mouths off to the father and he just starts beating the crap out of her. And
oh,
the mother says,
okay.
Stop, 8 is Enough. And they all laugh. Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay. No. So, anyway. So, other than Halo 3, I haven't really been playing much of anything.
I've been playing Team Fortress 2 at work to benchmark it.
Yeah, to benchmark it, I'm sure.
No, really?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Okay.
And it's completely GPU bound. Doesn't matter what processor you have, because it's they purposefully made it run on the lowest possible systems.
Okay.
So it's a really good game if you have a good video card, or if you have a shitty video card, it still runs fine on your system.
Hmm. But that one's like cel shaded, isn't it? It's like cartoony looking.
Kind of. It's between cel shaded and not.
So it doesn't look like.
It looks like The Incredibles is what it looks like.
Oh, okay. All right. But it's fun. I mean, the gameplay itself.
If you like Team Fortress 1, you like Team Fortress 2. It's more the same, but prettier.
That's what I figured. I didn't play a whole lot of Team Fortress 1, so.
I loved Team Fortress 1, but I always played as an engineer.
Are you talking about Team Fortress Classic for Half-Life or Team Fortress 1 for Quake?
Classic.
Okay. Okay. So that's different. That's not Team Fortress 1. Team Fortress 1 is a Quake mod.
Well, Team Fortress 1, the Quake one is the one I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
I thought that was the first one.
It was. Then there was Team Fortress Classic.
See, when
was
you say
for Half-Life.
Classic, it makes me think that that's the original one.
No, it's the second one.
Like if somebody says Mario Brothers Classic to me, it makes me think of the bricks
but
and the
crabs
coming out.
But the problem here is there actually is a Team Fortress Classic.
Well,
what
it
it's called.
Feels it's the same as the
you
Quake
wouldn't think
one.
If somebody said Super Mario Brothers Classic and there was a game called Super Mario Brothers Classic,
they
are
right.
You know what I'm saying?
But it's retarded to call a game, you know, whatever classic.
The reason they did that is because Halo. I'm still thinking about Halo. I'm looking at the Game Fuel can on my desk here.
The beautiful picture of Master Chief.
Yeah.
Master Chief needs new color armor. Because green is just...
Green's my favorite color, man.
It's a nice color, but he needs, like, different armor. Like, if he goes to the Arctic, green armor stands out a little bit. It should be, like, a nice teal.
Well, you know...
If he goes to the forest, that's cool.
How hard would it be to make it camouflage?
Or real active camo where he blends in.
Right. I don't know. Anyway, what the hell say? Oh, Team Fortress. The reason it's called Team Fortress Classic is because originally Team Fortress 2 was supposed to come out for the Half-Life 1 engine. It was supposed to be a Half-Life 1 based game.
Instead.
But you know, in the meantime, they said, you know what? We're going to go ahead and release Team Fortress Classic and not Team Fortress 2. We'll have Team Fortress 2 soon. Well, soon turned out to be never, and it became Team Fortress 2 for Half-Life 2. So that's why it was called Classic. It was a placeholder until Team Fortress 2 came out, which fucking was like 7 years ago or 8 years ago now. So anyway, that's the story behind that. Carcassonne, this expansion pack, you better talk about this because I have no idea what the hell it is.
So Carcassonne, as I've talked about before, is the game where you build little cities and roads and you score points by
doing
it.
Which is the one that we played where there's like trading sheep and wool and...
It's Catan.
Oh, right.
Which is... The real name is Settlers Catan, but for some reason they called it Catan on Xbox Live.
Right.
But the Xbox Live, they keep releasing expansions for Carcassonne, and they cost like $2.59 when you translate the points into dollars.
Uh-huh.
And this one adds more tiles, including some just wacky, fucked-up looking tiles. They're cool, but they're messed up. And new rules, which are kings and barons, where if you close off the biggest city, you become the king, and then at the end of the game... For each city, you get a point, or you become the Baron if you close off the biggest road. You get a point for each road at the end of the game. So it just adds more stuff to do in the game.
That sounds incredibly boring.
Well, Jasmine X and I were playing it this morning, and she won one by a little bit, and the next one I just completely slapped her down by almost 100 points.
Remember, as we'll be talking about baseball.
Baseball is boring.
Hell yeah, it's boring.
You know why they serve alcohol at baseball?
Because otherwise it'd be unbearable.
That's right.
Yeah, when we go to the baseball games, local baseball games, it's a AAA club.
You need
all we do is not pay attention to the game.
You need at least an HGA while the game
is
going.
No idea whether we're winning or losing. I don't even care. All we do there is eat and drink. That's it.
And fighting around the world?
What?
No, never mind.
And we do the chicken dance or whatever the hell when we're supposed to do
that. No.
Exactly.
Is that it? That's
yep.
the chicken dance?
Yep. No, please don't ask me to insert that soundbite here. I'm not going to do it.
I wasn't going to ask you okay. to. But aren't you Mexican? Don't you just like have an instrument?
That's a hat dance, dude.
Oh, that's a hat dance?
Yeah. We can do the hat dance immediately on command.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm not going to command it.
Good.
Too bad.
I'm a little out of practice.
I haven't been playing Eternal Sonata. I unpacked it out of. I saw it when I opened up one of the boxes. I was unpacking.
You better sell it then, because
and I closed the box immediately.
You know what you need to bring me when you unpack it. You need to bring fucking Ratchet and Clank to me. No. Ratchet and Clank.
Psychonauts.
Why the hell did I say Ratchet and Clank? I guess because I'm thinking Tools of Destruction's out pretty soon.
Yeah,
is that October or November?
I believe it's October.
And that's like. Know. That's like the first game I'm looking forward to on the PS3 since, wow. What was the last game I was looking forward to on the PS3? Virtua Fighter, maybe? Motorstorm? Oh, no. Heavenly Sword. Yeah, I actually like that.
Did you finish Heavenly Sword?
Of course not, dude. Why would I finish Heavenly Sword when I...
Did you finish God of War 2?
No. I haven't had a chance to play any of that
shit. Did you finish Gears of War?
Yes.
Okay.
But that was a long time ago, though. I haven't played it since I finished it. I never played multiplayer on that game ever on Gears of War.
Gears of War is different. No game has multiplayer like Gears of War.
Well, I would figure with the cover system and the lock on chainsawing.
It's even where you're different invulnerable. than Ghost Recon, which has a cover system. Mm-hmm. It's not the same thing.
But it's fun.
Yeah.
Is it more or fun. Less fun than Halo?
It's more fun than Halo because when you stick a grenade to someone, they don't know you did it. And you'll see, stick a grenade to someone, and they'll run back to go back with their dudes and just blow them all up. And it's an instant kill of everyone all around.
Wow.
I like grenades. What can I say?
Okay, so that one thing makes it more fun than Halo.
That and the copious amounts of gore and blood.
That's one thing I'm surprised that Halo's a mature game, but they really don't cuss. They don't show boobies. They don't really show a whole lot of blood. I mean, there's a little bit of blood every so often. I don't know where it comes from because you're in a suit. But you ever seen that? I mean, you die and there's like a little bit of blood splatters. And I'm like, where the hell did that blood come from? Is the suit bleeding? Is it alive?
I think the coolant for the suit is just red.
Oh, okay. But I'm like, why is this a mature game? Why? What about Halo's makes it mature? Nothing.
People whacking it to Cortana?
I guess. But anyway, let's move on to the... New/relevant games this week. So the NBA games came out, and I still haven't bought either one of them. I was thinking that NBA 2K8 was actually going to get surpassed by NBA Live 08 this year, but it looks like the reviews are proving me wrong. It looked like NBA 2K8 is still the one to get this year.
Things I don't know anything about? Basketball.
Well, how about MLB Power Pros?
Now, this is another title. It's a multi-release. That's being released on the PS2 and the Wii.
It's almost like it's there's.
I would
there's two tiers.
If
there
that
are
was
two,
a bargain bin game, I might buy it because of the gimmicky controls of playing baseball with some buddies when drinking.
Well, this is, you know what this is, right? This is there's a series in Japan called Powerful Pro Baseball that's made by Konami, and it's they're really, you know what super deformed characters are,
yes.
Like really squashed big heads
with hands that are just balls.
Not necessarily. But not, yeah, in this case they deformed. Are. In this case they are. But I was going to say, it's like super deformed, but their hands are just balls. And their legs are missing completely, and they only have feet. So it's like Rayman. You've played Rayman where he doesn't actually have arms and legs.
I actually like Rayman. Yeah.
So it's kind of like that. He's got big, huge, ridiculously large cartoonish heads. And they got big round bodies. They have balls for hands. And then they have feet. And that's it. But it's a really stat-heavy game. And it's huge, huge in Japan. It's been going on since the Super Nintendo days.
Yeah.
And we've never got a version of it until now. And 2K Games is actually bringing it over. Now, it's made by Konami. And I read the preview of it. And we just talked about how baseball is boring as shit. But it looks really cool. I mean, not necessarily because of the
super deformed. There are many sports that are boring as shit to watch, but are
fun to play. Yeah, that's true. But it's not because of the graphics so much, but it's just got a very different system for playing, and it's supposed to be very stat heavy, which can be good and bad.
If it's like baseball for the original Nintendo, I'm in.
I don't know. But I don't know what I didn't read is if the Wii had actual Wii controls. I would imagine that it would.
If it didn't, I would be surprised.
I would be surprised too, but the PS2 one, I don't know. I mean, maybe the PS2, I don't know which one the main version was, if it was PS2 and then they converted it to the Wii, or if they made two completely different ones or not. But yeah, it's almost like there's two different tiers. The PS3, Xbox 360, and PC tier, the top tier, graphically speaking. And then the next tier is the PS2, the Wii, and the PSP, even. Lots of times the PSP will have the same game.
I'm going to interrupt here for a second.
And then the portable games.
I'm going to interrupt here. From now on, every time I read an article that asks, is PC gaming dead, I'm going to put whoever wrote that article as idiot of the week. Because this is how it goes. A new system comes out, kicks the shit graphically out of the PC, then as that generation starts to die, but before the next one comes out, a whole bunch of cool PC games come out that look better than their console counterparts.
Well, the thing is, PC doesn't have lifespan, like a specific set lifespan, where the consoles have typically 4 to 5 years on average before they get replaced by a new console. PCs are continuously evolving, right?
Evolving.
That's what I said.
You said involving.
No, evolving.
No, okay.
I guess we're going to be able to hear it when I play this back, but PCs are continuously evolving. And, you know, you get a new GPU, every 6 months? Or at least a new rev of a GPU every 6 months?
Right.
And same thing with CPUs?
It basically goes new version every year, and then 6 months after that new version comes out, die shrink. Which gives you speed.
Right. And the negative of this, I mean, it's good that that's a flexible system, right, the PC. The negative, it's just fucking expensive, for one.
Right.
One video card is more expensive
than a whole PC. One
good video card is more expensive than some whole PCs. What I was going to say is more expensive than consoles. You could buy like 2 360s for the price of like an 8800 Ultra.
To have the same card as a 360 has, to have the same type of power, it's not the 8800 Ultra. You're talking like buying a 1950 XTX. And that's going to cost you, $150?
Well, you run maybe games, you have to be able to run games at least 720p, right? To be equivalent. So I guess so. But the point is that to get the price of entry to the PC arena is just really high. If you think it's high for the PS3, it's nothing compared to PCs. And then you got the memory and the CPU and all that stuff. The plus side of PCs is it does a lot of other shit. It just doesn't play games, right? It does a lot of stuff. So that's why people justify, you know, PC, and you give it an internet connection. I mean, PC is almost useless without an internet connection nowadays.
I agree.
Nowadays.
It is useless.
And the same thing goes for the Xbox 360, in my opinion. If you don't have
I can never live anywhere without an internet connection.
Yeah, it's almost become like...
It's a lifeline.
Electricity. You know? Electricity, people need air conditioning, people need gas, you know, or, you know, some sort of heat. They need a telephone of some sort, maybe used to be landline, but now everybody's got cell phones. And they need internet connection.
You know, the next generation is for computers.
You don't even need TV anymore because you can just download everything on the internet. What were we saying?
The next generation for computers, it's going to be GPUs on board the CPU. Both Intel and AMD are doing it.
Well, that'll be good because it'll make things easier.
Yeah. So let's go back to the games, the new releases.
All right. So we're still going over the multi-releases.
Multi-releases. Yeah. So here's one that I have downloaded the demo, but I haven't booted it up yet.
Uh-huh.
I really like comic books. I admit it. I'm 27 years old this month, and I love comic books. So Spider-Man Friend or Foe, I'm probably going to rent that just because it has Spider-Man in it.
I hope it's better than Spider-Man 3 because that was garbage.
Spider-Man 3 wasn't that bad.
It was pretty bad, dude.
Oh, higher. Oh, lower. Go really fast.
That reminds me of that one game we played for the PS1. What was that?
Incredible Crisis.
Yeah, Incredible Crisis, where that one mini level.
With them back massaging?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, a little higher. That's just right.
It'd be better if the voice went deep halfway through.
But, friend, so what do you think? Did you say you played demo?
I haven't played
it.
I've downloaded
it,
but I haven't
downloaded
played
it. Okay.
So what's this Crash of the Titans? I started this download going because I thought it said Clash of the Titans. I started it going before I left today.
I've said the same thing to myself. I was like, oh, Clash of... Wait a minute. Crash, guess what it is. Just give a guess. Crash of the Titans. Crash.
It is, if you tell me it's a racing game, I've it lost not, my faith
it
in
It is not
gaming.
A racing
okay.
game. Okay. Come on. Crash. Gaming. It's Crash Bandicoot.
What?
It's Crash Bandicoot.
Really?
Yeah. It's a Crash Bandicoot game.
Weird.
But that's the same thing I was thinking. I was like, oh, man, that would be so awesome, a Clash of the Titans game.
Well, but then when Perseus I saw that it was and... Crash of the Titans, I thought, oh, man, maybe it's like a new King of Monsters.
Or it could have been a Clash of the Titans game with kart racing.
Yeah, that's that. That'd make me vomit
blood. The Perseus go-kart and the Kraken. It'd be like Donkey Kong, and it'd be pretty cool. No?
No.
Maybe. Maybe later. So PC, the big PC game released this week is Enemy Territory Quake Wars. And for a guy that played Quake forever, I couldn't be any less interested in this game.
I'm going to have to watch it over and over again because I'm going to have to benchmark it at work.
Here's the deal.
Well,
it's team-based. Done. I'm done with it. It's team-based.
I'm going to try to sell my gaming PC pretty soon. I was going to post to the poker message list if you don't care.
I don't care.
And I just don't care. I've got my multimedia PC that's on my...
It's the same reason I couldn't get into Shadowrun. It's because it's team-based.
But at least Shadowrun had stuff to do besides just run around and kill people. You had powers to use.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Quake Wars. I mean, as soon as I found out it was a team-based game and it's based on enemy territories, I was done with that.
At least in Shadowrun, I could say up in your ass with the resurrection whenever I resurrected someone, but I don't know what I'm doing Quake Wars.
Yeah, so... For all those that are playing Quake Wars out there, okay.
You know. So, now we're on 360. PGR 4 just got released? I thought that was already released.
It was released. It was released this past week, I think. This is just this week. The week that just passed. For some reason, it kind of came like under the radar a little bit, you know?
Because Halo 3 came out?
That may be it. See, when Forza 2 came out, I wasn't a big Forza fan, but I always thought PGR was a bigger title than Forza.
Now, they added... Motorcycles, that's what's
added,
new about?
Yeah, they added motorcycles. And
did they add speedboats like they had promised
I really
on the
liked
original
PGR 3.
Xbox?
I don't know. I really like PGR 3.
I don't like realistic racing games. If it's not arcade, I don't care.
Yeah, but it's not so much... like Forza is really the realistic one. This one's more arcadey than Forza, but not as arcadey as like a kart game.
Or Burnout.
Burnout is fun.
Burnout is as realistic as I like.
Which is not at all.
Not at all.
I totally agree with you. I think realistic racing games become a chore. Again, games becoming work.
If I was all about cars and I couldn't afford a car, I might be into Project Gotham Racing.
No, but then I would be into Forza. Because remember, Forza is the one that's supposed to be like the Gran Turismo of
but doesn't
the Xbox.
PGR 4 have a whole bunch of real cars in it?
But they're, you know, but whereas like Gran Turismo makes you start off on shitty little like, you know, 90 horsepower crap cars from Europe and stuff. On PGR, the thing with PGR is they're all exotic high-end cars, like all of them. Like the lowest car is like a Corvette Z06, which is ridiculous because it's like super fast and, you know, that car is, I think is like 70,000.
So there are no Volkswagen Bugs in the PGR?
No, none of that crap.
Would they be in Forza?
I think Forza...
Like a Jetta be in Forza?
You know, I didn't play Forza. I want to say that the Forza does have stuff like that. I'm not 100%.
But not necessarily that. But we're talking like a Honda Civic and or an Accord. Or
I want to say that it does have everyday cars in it.
Z28.
Yeah.
All right.
But PGR is all about high-end exotics. So right there, that kind of eliminates that. There's no like...
Does it have the Ferrari station wagon that one guy from Dubai commissioned?
He just got a one-of-a-kind?
I think he got 7 of them.
Wow, but he had design just for him?
Yeah, he had another company cut off the end of the
Ferrari.
What's
the deal with Dubai? Like, I heard it was like the richest country in the world.
It is the richest country. What they're doing is they're pumping their oil out in record numbers, and their oil well will dry up very soon. They'll be out of oil.
Uh-huh.
So they've been building huge, awesome resort cities, thinking that people will come just for the resorts.
Oh, so they're trying to...
And huge,
so they're thinking a little bit ahead and trying to make it a
not
vacation
really a lot
spot?
Ahead, because if they're thinking a lot ahead, they'd build... Just they
where
build
the hell is
more
Dubai?
Than just. It's in the United Arab Emirates.
That doesn't help me.
It's near the Mediterranean.
Okay.
I think
okay.
it borders the Mediterranean.
Okay.
All right.
My geography sucks, dude. I'll admit it.
Enough about Dubai.
Anyway, because that's the second time I heard about Dubai this week. It just happened to pop up again. Anyway.
You know what? I can just wait for the image macros on the internet when they're out of oil. And it's going to be Dubai bye.
Dubai.
Anyway.
PGR 4. We got Flat Out, another racing game.
So
Flat Out
is
Ultimate
Flat Out
Carnage.
The one where you do stunts?
Sort of, yeah. It was kind of like...
With the terrible ragdoll driver?
Yes. That's when you would fly out of the car, and yeah.
And you get bonus points for his role.
Right, right. That's it. It was actually a pretty fun game on the PC, the first one was. And then I think, didn't they make a Flat Out 2?
I think they did.
Yeah, and then this is, I think, the first one on the 360.
I see. Then it's just 360? Were the other ones on,
if it's on
PS2
other,
and Xbox?
You know, I have it on a 360. To be honest, I think it was only released for the 360 this month.
But it might
I mean,
be
week.
Released later for
it
the
might
PS3.
Be. I'm not sure. I'm not going to say it's an exclusive, but I only saw it where I got it.
Now,
where
here's
I got
something
this information from. It was
been
only for
released
the 360.
On, that I had on my IBM XT when I was
Tetris.
Really, really young. Tetris. But this one's Tetris Splash. Now, what's Splash?
So they took Tetris. They put it in an aquarium, changed nothing, and called Tetris Splash. $10, please.
No. Denied.
It's supposed to be, like, really, really plain Jane, too. Like, it's got,
like
a couple,
it's not
two
like
modes.
Tetris where it has, like, the bombs and the...
No. It's got Tetris, like, marathon. Just, like, play it as long as you can, you know, before dying. And it's got how quickly can you clear 40 lines. And that's it. As far as I know. For
that's
single
not
player.
Worth $10.
And then it's got multiplayer. You can play up to six people local or... No.
Six people local.
Is four it six people? Local? Maybe four people local. Yeah, sorry, because you don't have six controllers.
Well, I guess
I think it's four people local.
Could
and
if you put two wired controllers in.
Yeah, I guess so. And is it six or eight people? Anyway, there's less local than there is online. Maybe it's two people local. I don't remember.
Anyway.
It's X number local, X plus
If you're
going to
remake
y
Tetris, make
on
it
Xbox
sweet.
Live.
Make it. Make it cool if you're going to remake Tetris.
Yeah, but it's very basic and it's... And
if
it's
it came with like an aquarium... If it comes with an aquarium background where you can just put your TV to be a cool aquarium, then it would be worth $10.
Nope.
Hell, you know what? If somebody went on live and they put just an aquarium or a fireplace app,
you'd
I'd
get
buy
it
just because.
200 points.
200 points.
For Christmas, you put up the Yule log.
I'm in.
I actually bought
and
that
And maybe
DVD.
For Halloween, you could throw witches on the
when we
the fire.
We don't have a chimney. In fact, I didn't really
Dude,
want one.
I've got a gas chimney.
We live in Texas, okay? And when I bought a house,
it's,
I was like,
"It's cold.
I don't
winter.
Want a chimney. All it's going to do is cost me money and energy bills because they're very poor at insulation, you know?
So if I'm they like, don't have a fluke.
Yeah. Well, even still, like, it's just, why do you need a fucking chimney? Right? So don't have a chimney. You know why you need a chimney for this Christmas, man? You got to have a little fire.
When I embezzle money from my company and I need to burn documents.
Do you have a chimney in your new house?
I do.
Really?
Gas burning. So it's super fuel efficient.
But you had one in your apartment too, didn't you?
Yes.
Did you ever use it?
I can count the number of times I've used it on a quadruple amputee.
Zero.
Zero.
So anyway, I didn't get a chimney in my house, but you know, it's always kind of nice and traditional to have that.
And if
that
you
fire
are a quadruple
going.
Amputee and you're offended by that, please pound your stumps on the keyboard and send me
and send you,
a message.
And send you, yeah, like they're going to type out your email address, which you've never actually given out, I don't think.
No, you can leave it in the comments.
Okay. Anyway, like I was saying, I bought this DVD that has, you know, the classic just playing the fire on the screen. But you can also play with carols, so that's pretty cool. It was like $5. So it plays a really cool-looking fire with Christmas carols playing in the background, and that's what we put on when we decorate our
tree. More things
tree.
I would buy that don't exist and should, special people's choir CDs. Just a choir of special people singing Christmas carols.
Special being retarded.
Special.
Okay.
Yes. Developmentally disabled adults.
All right, dude, let's move on to the Wii.
Speaking of developmentally disabled.
So I actually bought something with my Wii points. It's been, what are we, October?
Yeah.
And when did the Wii come out? November?
Was
11
it just
months?
Last November?
Yeah.
No, I guess it was.
11 months later, I finally used my Wii points for something.
What'd you buy?
Two games that I couldn't buy ever before.
I think you're going to be wrong.
No. And I know what you're going to say, and I'm going to quickly cut you off.
Oh, because MLB Power Pros is up there, I see.
No. I bought Super Mario Brothers: The Lost Levels, aka Super Mario Brothers 2, from Japan, and Sin and Punishment from the N64, both imports. Now go ahead and say what you're going to say, because I already know what my response is. Go ahead.
You could have bought Super Mario All-Stars.
Exactly, and what I'm going to say is that was redone.
So?
I wanted to
better
play...
Better graphics.
I wanted to play... I've never been able to purchase in America, I'm not counting importing it.
Why don't
the
you
original,
import it? It's got to be cheap.
Because it's a Famicom cartridge.
Don't those work?
No, I'm sorry. It's a disc cartridge.
Oh, it's a disc, cartridge.
Sorry, it's a disc game.
So you really can't.
You could import the disc game and the disc system and the Famicom.
I think that was a player's choice.
Of course,
game
I could
in
always
Japan.
Play it emulated.
You might be able to get a Game Boy Advance copy of
no
it.
No need. I've already downloaded it. And the thing is,
are you going to finish that? Good luck.
Why good luck?
Because it's known as the hardest Super Mario Brothers
it's
ever.
It's fucking Mario Brothers, dude.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I've already played it.
Parts in that game. I've played through it. I didn't finish it, but I played pretty far through it because there were saves, luckily, on lost levels.
Uh-huh.
There are parts where you try to jump over a pit, and as soon as you jump over, you hit a coin box and fall to your death, an invisible coin box.
That sounds great.
Doesn't it?
I will finish that game.
Okay. All right.
I'm not going to give you a time frame, but I will finish that game.
All right.
But I like that I could buy the original NES graphics version of it. And I haven't been able to do that before. So I said, look, finally, something I can use my fucking points on. You know, something that I don't have. The other game I bought, Sin and Punishment.
Again, another thing you could not get in
the US. I could have imported it, of course. I'm not saying I couldn't, but I couldn't buy an American localized version with English text, you know, English menus and stuff like that. So I bought those two games, and I'll give my impression, Super Mario Brothers. Like you said, it's just a harder version of Super Mario Brothers 1. There's no graphical updates or anything like that. You can play Mario or Luigi, and they do act differently.
Really?
Luigi does jump higher. And
awesome. But yeah. Does he still squirrely like he was in Doki Doki Panic Remake?
Yeah, they control differently, for sure. And you get to choose which one you want to play as. But they look identical. They just green palette swapped version of Mario.
See, I played as Mario through that because I didn't see the difference.
And then the other one was Sin and Punishment. In that game, Treasure is one of the best game makers of all time, as far as I'm concerned. They make some great shooters, and
what
I like the game.
That was released in the U.S.
Like Ikaruga.
Yeah,
they make Ikaruga.
I might have to buy a VC console game.
Gunstar Heroes.
Because that was redundant, wasn't it? That was like ATM machine, VC console,
virtual console. Yeah. Gunstar Heroes was another one.
Which one is Gunstar Heroes? I always think
it's on the Genesis.
Sunset Cowboys or Sunset Riders?
You're talking about Sunset Riders.
Sunset Riders is what I think of, but I never remember what it is. What is it actually?
Gunstar Heroes is sort of a mascot-looking, kind of kiddish version of Contra or maybe Metal Slug for the Genesis. It was really good.
I might have to try that out.
They made another one called Gunstar Superheroes for the GBA, actually. And I have that. But anyway... Treasure, and they've also made Radiant Silver Gun. You may have heard of that. It's import only also.
I've heard of it, but I've never seen
it. It's one of the most highly regarded shooters of all time. So anyway, so this is a 3D shooter on rails, a lot like Panzer Dragoon, except for you walk instead of flying on a dragon in there.
Did we talk last week that for sure it is now officially confirmed that Ikaruga and Rez are coming to Xbox Live Arcade? Mm-hmm. All right. Yep. I have no idea how psyched I am.
Yeah, it's also, kind of like Rez also, actually.
You and me, we're going to have to compete for scores on Ikaruga.
Okay.
We're going to get real good at Ikaruga.
Okay, yeah. And you can play at co-op.
There's no such thing as being good at Ikaruga.
Yeah, there is. Do you know in Japan they sell DVDs of people playing Ikaruga?
Yeah, and I've seen somebody play through the game with...
Both joysticks?
Both joysticks.
Yeah, he basically played co-op through the game by himself with a joystick and the button, one in each hand. One joystick and button in each hand, because Ikaruga only has two buttons. The shoot button and then the change the color of your ship button. That's it.
It doesn't have a bomb?
No, I don't think so. I think it's a charge maneuver or something like that.
Ah, I see.
I think if you just hold down the button and let it go, it does a bomb or something like that.
Wow.
In any case, so I bought this game, Sin and Punishment, from Treasure, and it plays a lot like Rez or Panzer Dragoon, where it's on rails and your guy's running along the ground, which you can't control. And I was a little worried initially when I loaded up the game because you can choose your control scheme, and originally it was a Nintendo 64 control. And one of the things it wants to do is, in order to pan left and right on the screen, you have to use the Z button and the R button, not the L button. And that's because you use the analog stick, which was the center nipple of the N64, or udder, I guess.
It was like the belly button of the N64.
Yeah, so underneath the udder, of the middle udder, was the Z button.
Oh, that's right, the back knee of the N64 controller.
Right. And then so people would use the right, you know, the R button or the Z button to move left and right. Well, the Z button's way the fuck in the middle on the classic controller. It's like almost near the right in the middle. So I'm like, damn, I want to use the L and R buttons. But there was no option to because it's like presets, type 1, 2, or 3. Luckily, they were smart enough to program the Z button. Z button is duplicated in the L button. So it does work correctly. And then I did tutorial, and oh my god, dude, there's so much shit to do. You gotta like aim, and then there's two different types of cursors, the lock-on and the free. Then you strafe left and right with the L and R. Then you hit one of the buttons to jump, and then you could double jump. And then if you double tap the L and R, you roll. And you're doing all this shit all at the same time, and all this crap is coming towards you. I'm like, wow, holy shit, this game's going to be fucking hard. And I bought it really late at night, so I only played it for like 20 minutes.
I almost want to interrupt to quote one of the Japanese developers.
Which was here. What?
Which is that Japanese gamers don't want hard games.
Yeah, well, what is that? That's so complicated.
Yeah,
you know,
Ikaruga,
Ikaruga is way simple. It's the gameplay.
Well, it's simple, but it takes some reflexes to get through.
No, I understand, but the game itself is simple. There's two buttons. There's not a whole lot to the gameplay.
The control scheme.
The control scheme is simple, right. But the control scheme on Sin and Punishment is not simple at all.
And it was not localized to the U.S. If U.S.
It
gamers
was never localized
really
until
want
now.
Harder games, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
See, and the other thing is, so if you really want to support Nintendo importing more games,
you should buy this game.
The problem is they actually charge you more. All is the first N64 game that didn't cost you 1,000 points. It cost you 1,200 points.
So $12?
Yeah.
That makes my brown eye blue.
And the other thing is the Super Mario Brothers one, the Lost Levels, a.k.a. Super Mario Brothers 2 Japanese version, that's 600 points instead of 500 points.
$6. Good Lord, that's a lot of money.
Instead of $5. So they are charging you for localizing those games, but these are the only games that I ever cared to buy, so I went ahead and bought them. I said, fuck it, I'm going to buy these games. But you know what, man? Holy shit. Sin and Punishment, the ugliest cutscenes I've ever seen in my life.
Would you think they would be ugly on non-HD TVs?
No. The polygon count is so low, it's ridiculous.
Was it one of the first N64 games?
No, I don't think so. It was one of the later ones, I think. But the thing is...
Or is the N64 that crappy?
It was just bad. I mean, they're low, low polygon counts. But the gameplay is... I mean, people play it for the gameplay. It's like Super Mario Bros. Doesn't have great graphics. People played it for the gameplay. But anyway, so I finally went out and bought these fucking two virtual console games. And the only reason that I even turned on my Wii and I remembered to buy these games is because my fucking light was blue again, glowing and glowing and glowing until, like, finally turned it on. And when Nintendo wanted...
What?
The Wii jackets. The Wii remote jackets.
And so, I need to remember to...
I need to order those, too.
Order four of those.
We should do that right after the podcast.
I can't. You need your serial number.
I should do that right after the podcast.
You should.
Yeah, so... Yeah, Nintendo's finally, you know, not necessarily admitted, but taken into consideration that some people let their fucking remotes fly when they're playing Wii games.
I don't let my remotes fly, and no one who ever will let my remote fly will use it again. But the problem
well, it only
that I
takes
have,
one.
The problem that I have is that they're so light that if I leave them out, my cats bat them around. Because they're so damn light.
Yeah.
So and now, without the batteries in them, oh my god, they can bat them across the house.
Well, now they're going to be all Wii remotes and all Wii consoles are going to be packaged with these Wii remote jackets, which are basically jelly covered.
How many third party companies are they pissing off by giving those away for free?
Yeah, that's true. Well, this one's kind of padded though. The other ones are more like grippy covers. This is like a padded cover to reduce the chances that it's going to go through your TV.
All right, yeah, on to PS3 releases.
This is I think they've gone through four versions of the Wii strap too.
Oh yeah, I still never replaced my Wii straps.
I never replaced mine either. But they're in the fourth versions, and now the Wii jackets. So I mean, obviously it's been a problem for them if people get pissed off enough to, you know, call them on it, and they have to release all these. It's supposed to cost them $17 million to get all these Wii jackets out. $17 million, drop in the bucket, I guess, for them. But damn, it sounds like a lot of money for some plastic, essentially. I bet you most of that's fucking postage.
Yep.
But once they get them in the consoles, they won't have to do that anymore. So it's a one-time charge-off, I guess.
So let's get to all those PS3 releases.
Oh,
it's blank because they didn't release anything.
Sure they did. It's all in the multi section. Everything that got released in the PS3 got released on some other platform.
Like
that's
the 360. It's actually two games, NBA 2K8 and NBA 08.
Yeah, and Spider-Man Friend of Foe. Wow, Spider-Man Friend of Foe is not on the PS3?
Not on the PS3.
I wonder if that's an oversight on my part. Anyway.
Possibly.
Actually, I don't think it is. I think I cut and pasted that.
Oh, that PS2 release, my sister loves that game.
Legend of Spyro, a new Spyro game.
She loves Spyro.
Well, the other thing I was noticing is the PS2 skin kind of thin, the releases-wise.
Yep.
which is, I still think that's kind of strange considering there's like 100 million of them out there.
If you're a budget publisher, now's the time to do PS2.
Exactly. But, you know, we did finally see Madden on the Xbox 360 outsell Madden on the PS2. I think that's a telling tale right there.
Yep. I think that led some of the sales of 360s, too.
Yep. So moving on to PSP, Siphon Filter's got a new game. Logan
I played
Shadow,
the first one.
Dark Mirror.
Was not a big fan.
Really? Dark Mirror was a huge
hit. It looked terrible.
Really? I never played it. All I know is like one of the most highly acclaimed games on the PSP. And they even ported it, I think, to the PS2, which is funny in itself. But
so what's the second one, Hot Pixel?
Hot Pixel is basically another attempt to recreate WarioWare. But it's got like a street urban theme. So imagine WarioWare on your PSP with a street urban theme.
No, use the capabilities of the PSP. Don't try to copy the DS. You don't have that control scheme.
And then we finally have... Well, you know, WarioWare started on the GBA.
I understand that, but now it's moved past that.
Yeah, okay. But anyway. So DS, of course, we talked about Zelda Phantom Hourglass already, neither of us have played.
But Jasmine X will play, and I'll have her get back to you.
And then Chibi Robo Park Patrol, which I heard good things about.
I'm going to say this, and I hope that we get pissed off user comments. Zelda is for girls. Girls and small children. Zelda. Girls.
Okay.
Link looks like a girl.
Okay.
So, moving on. We have a lot of Halo news.
Well, we're not going to go through all of it. Because we already talked about it. But, yeah, Halo 3 commercialization is just...
I did see the best Halo 3 comic ever.
$300 million, dude, first week worldwide sales. That's amazing. 100,
you know what that kicks the shit out of? Every movie ever.
Yeah. Well, no. Well, first day sales were like $170 million.
Kicks the shit out of every movie ever.
That's just insane. Yep.
So gaming, just, now, bigger business than movies.
Oh, well, I think it's been for a while.
Well, this is the nail in the coffin there.
Yeah. Yeah, the comic book
you
want to
know why? You want to know why movie theaters are making less money? Because people are playing games. That's it. Real easy.
Not because they're downloading them?
No. Because there's nothing like a movie
experience.
I'm
sure some of them are probably going to...
Well, the shittier ones. Yeah. There's less market for crappy movie content.
Maybe that's why they're trying to get so many game franchises on the big screen.
The best Halo 3 comic ever was a Control-Alt-Delete comic. Now, the first two panels are kind of crappy, and they're talking about Halo merchandising.
Every time we do this, I always think back to the 1930s when the president used to read the comics over the radio.
Don't know about that.
Was it Roosevelt? I think it was Roosevelt.
No idea. I'm not that old.
Oh, because I was alive in the fucking 1930s.
That's what I gained from that.
That is the worst. I hate it when you say, I wasn't born in 1912. Fucking who? Nobody we know was born in 1912. Well, it's called fucking history.
Yeah, I only say it because it pisses you off so much.
Anyway, go ahead.
So the first panel...
Talk through this comic.
The first panel is making fun of Mountain Dew. And the second panel, I don't know. But the third panel was a product I really think they should make.
Cleaning products was panel two.
Cleaning products, right.
Which doesn't exist.
So this one says, when Master Chief has to deal with the Flood, he uses Halo 3 menstrual pads.
And it doesn't say that.
I just think that it needs to deal with that.
The point is that it's a tampon commercial.
It's
with
a tampon
Master
commercial.
Chief.
And he's talking about the Flood.
And, yeah.
It's hilarious.
Here's the problem with that comic and why I didn't find it that funny. The first panel is valid. The Master Chief's pimping out Mountain Dew, game fuel, fine, which we are drinking right now, and which isn't bad. I like it. Anyway, the second panel is completely fictitious. It's a cleaning product that doesn't exist, which doesn't solidify the merchandising.
Humor is often based on exaggeration.
And then the third panel is supposed to drive it home that he's you know selling tampons. But really, what is he selling? He's only selling Mountain Dew. It's not like he's selling all this other stuff. You know, it's like, oh man, why doesn't he just sell tampons? As well, I mean, what's the difference?
It's exaggeration.
Selling,
it's funny,
right? But he's exaggerating. It's like you do one small little thing, and then all of a sudden, like that's a big thing. He's done it once. There's one thing that Master Chief's on. Why is it a big deal? I don't understand. What's the problem?
So
it's not funny. It's not funny.
Halo DS, the final story has finally come out. Some independent publisher came to Bungie with a mock copy of Halo DS where they had done some of the initial programming. They had one level done. They said no.
And that's it?
That's it. So Bungie didn't actually make it.
Yeah, so there were some screenshots put up, I think.
And a video. IGN? Videos, too.
IGN? Was it IGN?
IGN, yeah. videos also. Did you watch the videos?
No, I didn't watch. I just saw the screenshots. And it looked pretty cool. It was basically, it was Halo 1 or 2?
Halo 1.
Halo 1 done on the DS, is that right?
Yep. It had low pixel counts, but mm-hmm. it's on the DS.
It looks pretty cool.
Halo on the go? That would have been nice.
You know, how far are we away from a Microsoft portable?
How far do you think? They would do portables right.
Well, as long as they don't do the approach that the Zune took.
No. It'd be a closed system.
Yeah, the Zune not so good. I owned a Zune for a little while. So, Halo Zune,
speaking of Bungie, since we're on Halo, mm-hmm. Bungie now is owned by Bungie.
That's right.
They split.
They're trying to stress the fact that the only difference now is that Bungie owns themselves. Microsoft had purchased Bungie back in the Halo 1 days, and now they're their own independent company. But, I mean, how much is going to change? The Halo franchise still belongs to Microsoft. Halo will still develop future Halo-related titles.
Bungie will.
I'm sorry, yeah, Bungie will.
But Microsoft maintained...
First refusal, right?
So anytime they want to come out with a new franchise, Microsoft, and they want it to be published, mm-hmm. they have to go to Microsoft first. And if some other company wants to publish it for less than Microsoft, they still have to go to Microsoft and say, can you publish for this?
First right of refusal.
Right.
For anything that they make. So, I mean, you probably aren't going to see a lot of... you may see something for non-competing products like a DS. If Microsoft really doesn't have any plans to release a portable anytime soon, I can see them saying, you know, let's stretch out the Halo property a little bit more and let's make something like Halo DS. You know?
Yeah, why Halo PSP. I think because of how much market space that the DS has, it would be in Microsoft's benefit to make Halo PSP.
Yeah. And Bungie does have the Myth property. I don't know what else. And the Marathon property.
Yeah, Marathon property. Yeah.
Some people were hoping that this means that they'll actually make Mac OS X games now. Original Mac OS X games.
It's possible. A lot of Macs are going out the door.
Personally, I don't really care. This is, you know, business news. It's not really game news, right?
Well, let's talk about some real game news.
Bless you.
Thank you. Though I don't know what you're blessing me with. So, my what the fuck of the week.
Halo game people.
This is our new section. The guy that made King of Kong, which was an awesome movie, a documentary about competitive Donkey Kong play.
Right. Where we met Steve Wiebe. We actually went to go see it at the Draft House.
Right.
It was a very good movie. And Steve Wiebe is a really cool guy.
The director of that proposes that he makes a Paper Mario movie. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he wants to make
a
Paper Mario movie.
I'm hoping he's thinking either with construction paper, like actual paper, that would be pretty cool, or computer-generated Paper Mario, or even animated Paper Mario, but I hope he's not seriously considering...
But not like Super Mario Brothers with Mario and Luigi Mario.
Not a live-action Paper Mario. That would be just horrible.
It'd be hilarious.
Yeah, that is a pretty what-the-fuck of the week, but...
So... Did you see the adapter for the PS3 for Guitar Hero 3?
Mm-hmm. It turns out that they're not Bluetooth.
No. They could have been Bluetooth.
The PS3 Guitar Hero 3 controllers will have a dongle. They're USB dongle, so they're probably using...
A long-ass USB dongle. It's like a half a foot long with a spade at the end.
No, it's not a spade. It's a guitar pick.
It looks like a spade.
That's because guitar picks are black and... Well, their guitar pick is black and in the dark or in an angle, I guess it could look like a spade. But yeah, they're guitar picks. So
I guess it sounds a little better.
So, okay, what is it? I guess they're RF technology then?
They have a sync button.
So it's RF?
I guess.
Just like the 360s, right?
Sure.
Okay. So, yeah. So,
if you haven't bought a PS3, but Ratchet & Clank is selling you on that PS3 for the holiday season...
Find a 60-gigger soon.
Find a 60-gigger
soon.
Fast. And they just extended the offer for 5 free Blu-ray discs with a PS3. And they have new discs on the list. Like,
they
tripled the size of the list.
If you don't act soon and you don't get a 60 gigger and you're stuck with an 80 gigger, that's one thing.
There'll be no PS2 gameplay for you.
No, there'll be no... No, well, the 80 gigger has PS2, but it's emulated, and it's not as good. There's some problems. Then, now there's talk, and they're officially announced releases out, not in the United States, but outside of the United States, a 40 gig version with no backwards compatibility.
Just PS1.
For PS2. Well, yeah, for PS1 they do. But no backwards PS2 compatibility at all. That's one of the things that I actually do like about my PS3 is I can play my PS2 games. That's where I've been playing Persona and a few other of my PS1 games.
Did you enable the upscaling and all that
absolutely,
good stuff?
Absolutely.
It looks a lot better.
So if they have this technology in place, why in the hell would they remove it? They, you know, the
They should at least leave the software compatibility where it is.
We should just jump to our idiot of the week because it's related. Basically, we're just going to summarize. Our idiot of the week is going to be Sony for this, or whoever was in charge of making this bonehead.
Your idiot of the week. After you read the quote, I'll tell you why.
I'm not going to read the quote. Basically, what happens is somebody somewhere decided that it was a financially sound decision to remove backwards compatibility from the 40 gig PS3 version
and to no longer imminent. Work on it.
Right. And to no. Here's the deal. If they had kept the motion engine in, it would still be hardware related. They wouldn't have to do backwards compatibility.
I believe the motion engine would be more expensive than leaving that in.
And then the other way would be software emulation, the way the 360 is doing it, right? And so you're saying this is not an idiotic move to take out compatibility with PS2?
No, and once we read the quote, I'll say that he's almost right.
All right, go ahead and read the quote. I'm not going
to
read the quote.
Ray McGuire, Sony UK boss. As we come to our first Christmas with the PlayStation 3, it's actually the second Christmas, isn't it?
No. Well,
yeah.
Yes.
There's going to be about 65 games in the marketplace.
See, that guy's smart.
So we feel now that there's sufficient choice in the marketplace that we're still better off using that money to put into backwards compatibility and either investing in new games or using that money to help support bringing the price down so that people can get into the franchise. Now, that last part about bringing the price down is total bullshit, but investing that money into developers, third-party developers, to make some PS3 games is the right thing to do.
How much could it possibly fucking cost?
A lot.
You think it costs a lot?
I think it costs enough to get one more third-party developer.
How much do you think... How many people do you think they have on that project? Like, just guess. I mean, we don't know. Right now, we're just totally pulling numbers out of our ass, right? We have no idea.
I'll pull numbers out of my ass for software projects that
like
I've
this,
seen it.
Like, what would you think? Let's see if we even agree.
I'd say 15 or 20 people.
Fuck, dude. I think it's like 2.
No way.
I think it's like 2. I think Microsoft has like 2 or 3 people tops on their back.
I think Microsoft has 2 or 3 people tops, but they release an update every 6 months.
How much would you say one of those people gets paid a year? On the low end. 50,000?
Depends where they are. If they're in China, not very much.
No. No. Japan, American, or European?
Well, 50,000? Japan tech jobs are a lot. They get paid a lot less than American tech jobs.
So what would you say is a fair price? 50,000?
Sure, 50,000.
50,000. You say they have how many?
Say 15.
You're foolish.
10 or 15.
I'll give you 8. And of course, we're completely theorizing. We could be completely off track.
So I'm saying 150K and you're saying 40K.
No. I'm saying 8 people at 50,000K is 200,000 a year. No, it's 400,000 a year. Sorry. 400,000 a year.
And you're saying for $400,000 and a couple development boxes that they couldn't get another 30... Another 2 or 3 developers?
Well, first of all, I'm saying they don't even have 8 people. That's one of the problems. I'm saying they have like 2 fucking people, maybe 3.
I think they have a shitload of people working on it, but they're also working on other shit.
Yeah. I guess we can agree on a number of people. And again, we have no idea.
But I think it's the right thing for them to do.
Obviously, somebody thought it was a good business decision, but...
I think it's a good business decision.
I mean, we could argue that the 360 didn't have backwards compatibility down, you know?
Right.
And it still did fairly well.
I think it's the right decision. It's not the decision that I want, but I think it's the right business decision.
And again, we are, you know, we're a small subset of the actual people that buy these things, hardcore gamers.
Yep. I don't think it's the best user decision, but it is the best business decision.
I still think he's an idiot for taking it out. I mean, will it affect the bottom dollar in the long run? I mean, who's to say? If we all knew what the future was going to bring, we'd all be millionaires. But
well, I think that the Japanese hardware sales chart for last month is a little bit telling.
Well, okay. Clearly, the PlayStation 3 needs games. Clearly, right? We've said that many times, and I don't think anybody's going to argue that point. The PlayStation 3 needs more exclusive PlayStation 3-only games. Either that or far superior versions of the games that are available on the 360 or PC.
Right.
Right? At least to do well in America. Because it's sucking ass. And in Japan, let's go over these numbers in Japan. Japanese hardware sales chart for this. What week are we in? I guess last week of September would be.
Yeah, last week.
What
of
these
September.
Numbers are for. So PSP is at 102,000. The PSP has actually been kicking ass because of Final Fantasy Crisis Core.
Right.
Which
and
was
they
released.
Even released special versions
and
of
the PSP
Slim. Slim with the game and special skin for it.
Right. So many people are picking up a PSP because of Crisis Core. So that's doing very well right now. The Nintendo DS Lite has been doing phenomenal business in Japan for as long as it's been out. And that got second place with 72,000 sold that
week. Almost 73.
The Wii sold about 24,000, and the PlayStation 3 sold about 13,000, 2-to-1. And then after that, the PlayStation 2 almost sold more than the PS3. The PS3 sold 13,105. The PS2 sold 12,980.
Yep.
That's a problem. That's a problem for a platform that's been out a year almost.
Yep.
In Japan. Getting on a year. Maybe not a full year, but getting on there. And then you have Xbox 360 with 5,000. And then the Game Boy Micro bringing up the rear with 229 units sold last week. But even in Japan, where the PlayStation brand is immensely strong, even stronger than it is
here. The PSP is outselling the PlayStation 3.
Oh, by like, what, almost 10 to 1? No, 9 to 1. 9 to 1? Yeah, 9 or 8 to 1. I mean,
anyhow,
I don't know if taking out backwards compatibility is the thing that's going to make them jump. You know, are you really going to get... I think what I'm saying is think they're going to piss more people off than create sales.
I think they'll create sales by people that were waiting to get one, but now they know that soon they're not going to.
Skimping on backwards compatibility is not going to turn the PS3 around. It's not going to do it.
I don't know how many people they're having work on that, but you'd be surprised how hard it is to recompile.
Regardless, unless they have an obscene number of people on this. Taking out backwards compatibility in favor of whatever they're going to spend that money on isn't going to turn... The only thing that's going to turn that thing around... Man, I don't even know anymore. It's very... You know what? Fuck it. The PS3's done. I don't care if it's been out 10 months or not. I've seen enough. I don't think it's going to make a drastic turnaround. There's nothing that I see in the foreseeable future.
Final Fantasy 13. PS3 only.
God, yeah. I guess.
That's it. And I don't even know if that's...
Metal Gear Solid 4, no. It's not going to do it.
Final Fantasy 13.
But even still, that's not...
That's going to...
That's not
no
on the level of like
Final Fantasy.
Yeah, but again, we're talking hardcore players. We're not really talking on the Mario level.
Well, in terms of just selling
on the
PS3s,
Halo, even the Halo level in America.
I'm not even sure in Japan.
I don't know, dude. It's going to take a fucking miracle.
That's their miracle right there. I wonder how much they paid Square to get it exclusive for
whatever
Sony.
It is, they need to double it cuz they fucking need that game and they need it fast.
Yeah, ASAP.
If that game does phenomenal business at the end of 2008, they're fucking done. I don't care how good that game sells. They are done. They fucked up on time and price.
Because of the world market, if Final Fantasy 13 went multi-console right towards the end. I'd not be surprised.
A lot of them are going multi-console now. It's just they can't afford not to. That's so splintered. And if they're going to make a top-tier game, their choices are a console that sucks ass in Japan, which is the 360, but does very well in the United States.
Everywhere in the world.
United States, yeah. Basically everywhere but Asia.
Which is a much bigger market than Japan.
They can either make a game for the 360 or they can make a game for the PS3, which is not necessarily abysmal. It's not like an N-gage or anything here. But tepid sales. Very lukewarm sales. Across the board globally. And how are you going to make your money on something like that? You have to have a certain install base. And right now, I think that we recently passed the Xbox 360 and the global install base. But, I mean, if you want to make a top-tier game...
Counting Halo 3 sales?
I'm pretty sure that the Wii passed it about a month ago.
Yeah, but I think it flipped again.
No, well, the 360 sold more than the Wii, but like a few thousand. And that was just here in America. I'm sure it did not sell it in Japan or, you know.
Well, Halo 3 was sold out in a lot of places in Japan even.
Yeah, but that's a fraction of the games, I'm sure.
True.
It may be doing well for a Japanese release. You know, a game in Japan for 360. But I think overall, compared to other non-360 games in Japan, it was number one for the week.
Yeah.
Which was amazing in itself.
In Japan.
Right, in Japan. But, yeah, I don't think it's that great of a hit. I'm sure it'll plummet off the top 10 the next week. I'd be surprised if it didn't. But, yeah, I don't... You know what? I don't even know. PS3 is just fucked. It's going to take a fucking miracle. It's going to take Final Fantasy 13 being so ridiculously
free
awesome.
Free HD with every sale.
Yeah.
They mail a maid to you. From
they need to get that $400 console out, even if it's a 40 gig without backwards compatibility. They need one out. They fucking
and
need
it
that
still
one.
Has Blu-ray.
They need
right?
that one out last month. That's when they need that one out. for sure by the Christmas season, and they need it here in America, where we have the biggest, gaming consumer, you know, population in the world. Japan is more concentrated and they have a higher percentage of gamers, but overall numbers, raw numbers, nobody spends more in video games than Americans.
Yep.
So they're going to have to do something, and they're going to have to do something quick.
So let's skip that. Let's go. The orange box is preloading on Steam if you're waiting for Portal and Episode 2.
When does that do? I think it's due, what, in a couple weeks on 360? A
couple weeks.
And is a simultaneous release?
I believe so. And I'm going to... Well, you probably get it. Maybe you might get it early on the PC. I am going to probably buy the 360 version because I got free copies of the other one from work.
I think I saw the orange box was $37.88 at Fry's. For the PC.
Oh, for the PC.
Yeah.
So it's going to be $47.88 for the 360?
$49.99 for the PC. Normally $59.99 for the 360.
Ah, all right.
Unless they put it on sale.
Oh, well. But so do you see the specs for UT3?
Didn't they release Half-Life 2 for the Xbox One?
Yeah.
So they're re-releasing it?
They're re-releasing it.
Hmm. All right. What were we saying? UT3 specs. They're surprisingly low. I think they're fucking lying.
Well, I remember I had the minimum specs for Quake 1 when it came out. It ate my system.
Yeah.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
So even recommended specs. Let's fuck the minimum specs because we know that that's crap and bullshit and that doesn't really count.
I meet these specs.
Minimum recommended system requirements. 2.4 gigahertz dual core processor. Okay. That's fairly reasonable. 1 gigabyte of system RAM. Seems a little low, but okay. 7800 GTX or an X1300 plus video card from ATI or NVIDIA.
Makes sense.
7800 seems a little low. I guess if you play it low
res.
That's
a GTX. That's the shit model.
Even still, 7800 is last gen. It'll probably run. I can see that. And 8 gigabytes of free hard drive space. So that's the recommended.
So it's going to be DVD 9 disc then when we get the 360 version. Or are we getting a 360 version?
No, there is no 360 version on launch. The PS3 one is pushed back. The PC one's going to be this fall. And I think the 360 one may be eventually, if I don't know, ever. And I think I read that the PS3 and PC will not be cross-compatible.
They had said they were going to be.
I thought
so
the last
taking
thing
it back?
I thought the last thing I read was that it's not going to be cross compatible.
Wow.
So fun times there.
So a new expansion for City of Heroes is coming out.
What did I call that? The Call of Homer? What did I say?
Company of Heroes, I don't know.
Yeah, anyway. City of Heroes coming out.
It's a prequel to City of Heroes and you get to play through the events that formed Paragon City.
So Tony, if you're listening, there you go, we mentioned City of Heroes.
Yeah.
And now we're done with City of Heroes. Moving on.
So the GameCube outsold the PS3 in the first 10 months of...
Yeah, GamePro went back and made another, you know, what are they called? What do they call that shit when you go and just to create controversy?
I don't care.
Anyway, they went back and created a chart that showed the progress or the sales for the first 10 months for the GameCube, which we all know bombed. Pretty much. I mean, it bombed about as much as you can bomb and still be, like, not a complete disaster. And then they showed the sales for the PS3 for the same, you know, for its first 10 months, and they were about the same. In fact, the GameCube had outsold the PS3. But you have to realize that the GameCube was selling for a fraction of the cost of the PS3.
Which is why I don't think it's a fair comparison.
It's not. Sensationalist. That's what I wanted to say. It was another sensationalist graph just put together to, you know, stir up controversy and...
Don't be so hard on the PS3. It's expensive.
And make the fanboys mad. You know, I may sound like sometimes like I hate Nintendo and Sony, and it's not that I hate them. It's that I hate the current situation of their consoles.
Right.
I hate that the Wii... I have nothing against the Wii. I have everything against the Wii games, which to me are garbage. The great majority are garbage. When I say they're all garbage, I'm sure that Paper Mario's fine and
garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah. And so that's what I hate about the Wii. And I also kind of resent the fact that non-hardcore gamers are picking it up, just snapping them up, and it just kind of...
With no real
I feel like they're invading my space. You know, I'll be honest. Like, you know, this is my thing.
I don't feel that so much.
I do a little bit.
I just don't find anything I want to play on it.
But that's the main thing for me, definitely, is that the games aren't there for me. For me, personally.
What I dislike hearing is my coworkers who scoff at any sort of video first game? Person shooter oh. games and any of that stuff.
Uh-huh.
Any hardcore games, RPGs, they all buying Wiis.
Yeah, exactly. And doesn't that piss you off?
You hate games, but like, you bought a Wii?
You know, screw you. Like you're waiting in line at a restaurant or something to get in, and then you hear people over here, two people that obviously know nothing about games, and they're talking about, oh, I had so much fun playing Wii last night, and did you know you could download Super Mario Brothers to it, and blah, blah. I'm like, oh, dude, that sucks. Like, it just, it's almost like a sellout. You know, like, now I know how those hardcore, like, rock dudes feel when their favorite band goes, you know, sells out. Not that Nintendo wasn't ever a sellout because they fucking sold billions and billions of cartridges.
They're a company. They're yeah. trying to make money.
Absolutely. I same understand. Thing I understand. As it doesn't change the feeling that I get when I hear non gamers talk
that's
about
a bad
gaming.
Comparison.
It's not a comparison.
Well, I don't think it's a good correlation.
No, it just feels like, I guess, gaming sold out.
You're depressing me. Let's move on to the next topic.
And then Sony's is just like so much fucking.
We're going to tell you what you want. Anyway.
Yeah,
so Japan, idiots. Without citing any studies or doing any actual research, which has been done, bans Wi-Fi game stations on planes. So no DS, no PSP.
Are you serious? You can't play them at all?
Nope. Not even with shit turned off, because they say it will interfere with instruments. But it's actually been scientifically proven. Doesn't interfere.
I've never heard. You know, I'm not saying I've...
Now, it's possible on much older planes, but guess what? Japan doesn't fly any older planes. They have a 20-year limit. Flight time limit.
How do you know so much about Japanese air policy? Because
it was in the article.
Ah. I was like, why the fuck do you know this shit?
Anywho.
All right.
That's all
so,
we have.
Yeah.
Now, for games you haven't played but should of the week.
I still need to play Psychonauts, dude. When are you going to bring me that fucking game?
I'll bring you Psychonauts. When you remind me to bring you Psychonauts, make sure I'm actually at home.
Is that a multiple? It's like a 5-disc game?
I don't know. I've never opened the package. I played it on the Xbox.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I think, see, this one guy was selling one on Craigslist for $5, so I instantly messaged him and said, dude, I'll buy it for me. It's a PC version.
Yeah.
And I think I looked it up. I think it was like 5 discs. But he never got back to me.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. I was like, well, Aaron will bring it to me.
So for games you haven't played but should have, a while ago, I popped up the Zero Mission and Fusion ROMs of Metroid Zero Mission and Metroid Fusion on emulator.
Uh-huh.
And I liked them so much that I've been looking for them and looking for them and looking for them.
So you
finally today at GameStop, I found both of them in one GameStop, and I couldn't find either individually.
$10, I see.
Less than $10 a piece because of my happy card. I bought them used. So finally, I'm going to play through those.
God damn, could they sticker these motherfuckers up more?
Nope.
I'm looking at them right now. They have a huge sticker. It takes
covers
up the
nearly the entire footprint.
And that's not only enough. They have a huge sticker on the back, but they have one in the front, too. Yep. Just in case you didn't know, it was $9.99.
Are you out of your mind?
So, again, you bring up a game that you haven't played but should for people that probably have already played that. Metroid is not exactly an obscure game.
These completely slipped under my radar. I didn't even know until the DS started even out that these had been made. Mm-hmm. Hmm. These were not popular games. They did not sell well.
So for my game that you haven't played but should of the week, I'm going to say that Street Fighter 2. Remember that game, Street Fighter 2, that nobody played? Yeah,
well,
that's a pretty good game. If you haven't played that game before or heard of it, it's got these fighter guys, and it's like a one-on-one type of fighting game. Surely check that game out. It's pretty fun.
I think it would be the equivalent of saying Pocket Fighters. Or Gem Fighters? Is it Gem Fighters or Pocket Fighters? That would be the equivalent of
anyway,
what we're talking about here.
I think we're done.
All right.
Next week.
Rocket, don't let me out. Get out, Blah, blah, blah,